to his less than cordial.
He would have torn your damned head off.
It was most amusing to meet your version of Dr. Theophilus Tanner in the flesh, however. You see, he was an important figure in our history science, not because of any discovery he'd made. He was a pivotal laboratory subject. As in your reality, my white coat predecessors trawled Dr. Tanner from the past, then expelled him to the future. However, instead of materializing in Deathlands, which of course never existed in my reality, he reappeared in my era in the middle of a carnophage alert. He died on the spot. A detailed examination of frozen samples of his tissues, taken before his expulsion, was the key to my cracking the barrier between dimensions. It's a difficult concept to explain.
Then why bother?
Even to someone with the proper academic credentials. To simplify is to oversimplify in this case. Suffice it to say that the changes in his cellular structure brought on by the trawling event revealed certain specific physical mechanisms that had up until then not even been hinted at. My research into the nature of these mechanisms produced the miracle of reality transfer. I opened the door.
As Huth spoke, Christie's prehensile hair reacted, visibly shortening as it drew up into ringlets. The scientist reached out to touch the red strands, which coiled away from his grimy split-nail fingers like a nest of snakes.
Amazing.
Careful. It bites.
A most remarkable mutation. Although I must admit, its adaptive function's puzzling to me. Tell me, is the movement voluntary, or is it automatic? Is your hair's retractability produced by a linkage with your other senses, or does it possess some sensory array of its own?
Will you please fuck off?
I'll have to cut some of it off for testing when we get to the camp. It could well be the basis for an entirely new branch of cyber technology. Yet another prodigious feather in my cap. My goodness, this world is full of such mystery and promise.
The gyroplane landed on the Slake City airstrip. The cargo door opened, and a pair of troopers leaned in and unbuckled Christie from her seat. They pulled her out.
I'll be by soon for a sample of that hair. Ta!
Christie didn't struggle in the trooper's grasp. There didn't seem to be much point. She was way outnumbered, and with the cuffs on her hands and feet, even if she broke free, she wouldn't get too far. Instead of wasting her energy, she conserved it, letting them half carry her along. The soldiers took her through the airlock door of the biggest dome, and from there down a series of tubular antiseptic corridors. As they advanced, Christie kept her eyes open, looking for the comp that controlled the manacles. As Colonel Gabhardt had said, it had to be somewhere in this complex. But all the doors they passed were closed, and none had visible markings on them. It occurred to her, as she was hurried along, that she might not even recognize the electronic brain when she saw it. The only comps she'd ever seen were the ones the companions had come across in the redoubts, pre-dark government caches of machinery and supplies. Those were a century behind what these invaders had. The science of the Deathlands had come to a crashing halt in 2001. They took her through a doorway into a small dome that was blindingly lit. Unlike the corridors, the structure had not one, but a half dozen light strips across the ceiling. From the furnishings, it looked like an operating suite or a dissection room. Two Otherworlder officers stood in the harsh light, beside a low black table with blood gutters running down the sides. One wore a battle suit without a helmet, the other had on a tight-fitting, sleeveless gray t-shirt and loose gray pants. Christie was struck by the size and definition of the second one's arms. Beneath the smooth, pale skin, she could see every jumping sinew. The bulk wasn't feminine, nor masculine. There was something very different about it. It was more fluid, more supple. Not only powerful, but fast. Very, very fast. Standing beside the operating table was a small black cubicle on wheels, with a plastic hose coming up and rolling the fabric down over the points of her hips.
Damn! I just can't get over the smell of these...
I know. Utterly disgusting.
Then the two of them pulled off the jumpsuit and her panties. Jan took a pair of stirrups from under one of the trolleys and attached them to either end of the table. The doctor lifted her feet and hooked them inside, spreading her legs wide. Unable to raise her head or give voice to the string of curses that filled her head, Christie felt tears of impotent fury slide down her cheeks.
Phew. Bastards. Dredder, pick up her head so she can see what's happening. It's a quick and painless procedure, if you can understand what that means. The sedation was necessary only because we assumed you would resist, the animal that you are.
Dreda slipped a hand under Christie's neck and gently raised her head from the table. Christie shuddered. Below the flat, pale plane of her belly, above the tuft of red hair atop her pubis, her entire crotch was in full view and easy reach of the muscular creature who stood between her splayed knees. After pulling on a pair of transparent gloves, Jan attached a long, thin instrument to the hose emanating from the low cube beside the table. She shuddered as uninvited fingers deftly opened up her most private place.
Ah, you've been busy lately, haven't you? Lucky bitch.
Jan inserted the hollow, pointed tip of the instrument. The box beside the table began to hum, and from deep inside her, the instrument started vacuuming.
Your lover, Shadow Man. Damn, I could have sworn it was the black one. That's who I would have chosen. Anyway, he refused to give us his seed for the in vitro fertilization of our eggs. But he couldn't refuse you. You gathered the necessary material for us. A little vacuuming up is all that's required. As Jan said, it'll be painless and quick.
Greta set Christie's head back down, leaving the redhead to stare unblinking at the domed ceiling. The extraction procedure took 2 or 3 minutes. They were very long minutes for Christie. She lay there while the doctor probed her inner recesses with a suction tip, her face burning with anger and shame, more humiliated than she'd ever been in her life. When it was finally over, Jan gave her another injection, which caused the paralysis to gradually subside. After a few more minutes, she was able to sit up and pull her clothes back on. Whereas before, Christie had been speechless due to the drug, now it was fury that rendered her mute. She looked wildly around the room for a weapon, her green eyes flashing. Dreda noticed the way she was staring at the instrument tray.
Maybe you should rethink that, Missy. First of all, you'll never reach it before I do. Second, I might accidentally injure you in the process.
What are you? What kind of thing are you?
You and I are not that different. We have much the same body chemistry. We've exactly the same emotions, the same yearnings. I just took advantage of an opportunity. I made a conscious choice to never be a victim again.
That's not something anyone can control. Turnabout's the nature of the universe. All universes.
I realize you think we've done you an injustice, if not an injury, but we have the need to reproduce. It's biological. It's built in. And just like you, we can't do it alone. We had to have his seed.
You're not really human anymore. The only way you can reproduce is in a jar.
Oh, we had to have our eggs extracted. The genetic procedure we underwent might have damaged the egg.